So welcome to the Youth Work Plus podcast. I'm Becky, usual host. Unfortunately, Ollie isn't with us today. He's got an essay to write, so he couldn't join us. But I'm joined today by Dan Randall from Hope. He's our guest today, being interviewed. And his connection with us is that we've been friends for a few years. I used to run an event here in Milton Keynes called Hope MK, which tied in with Hope. So he kind of came to visit before and has been to speak at that. And we bumped into each other multiple times over the last few years at different youth events and conferences and things. So yeah, that's how we kind of know each other. And I'm really glad that he's joining us today on the podcast. My first question for you, Dan, is how, when and why did you get into youth work?
Yeah, I would say probably in the more traditional sense, I got involved with youth and children's ministry when I was about 14, 15, started helping out in the kids ministry at Keswick, Keswick convention that I went to as a young person. But then from there, became a bit young leader in our youth ministry. Yeah. When I was 15, 16, young leader on some of our camps around that age. And when I was 17, became a youth and community worker for our church on an island where we had a campus, which was cool. Had a rod to it, don't worry, you didn't get a boat. Yeah, that's probably the more traditional sense. Then from there, became a full-time youth and schools worker at 18, and the rest is history, really. Youth work's in my heart, help lead a local church now, younger people, youth ministry, young adults are right at the heart of what we do in every space and across the church community. But I guess the more unconventional answer, and this comes more from a, I guess, heart, passion, vision, dream, paradigm of how you look at youth ministry. So I guess a lot of the time youth ministry is to young people, whereas what if youth ministry was with young people? Was actually, when I was 10, God gave me a vision to start a Christian Union in my primary school just as I was heading to high school. And it happened. My job was to bring a bunch of my mates and share Jesus. And I did that once or twice. People had loads of fun. Loads of my friends became Christians. And I was only at school for three more months, and then it kept going for 6 years. But I think for me, that's my heart, to see more young people hear from God and that we come alongside and empower them to live it out.
Yeah, excellent. Just as well, for those who don't know, can you just share a little bit more about who you work for, just in case people don't know?
Yeah, Hope Together, we're a mission unity movement birthed in 2008. A bunch of churches came on board that year, different areas, say, actually, how can we work together to share Jesus in words and action in our villages, towns and cities? That's our heartbeat still. We want to equip any church of any size anywhere to share Jesus through words and action.
Mm. And if people want to tie in with that generally as their church or for the youth for children's work, then get on your website and find out more info.
Hopetogether.org.uk.
Cool. Amazing. Tell us a bit more about your current role and how it serves young people.
Yeah, so right now I have a few different roles in my life, but one of them is being the Youth and Young Adults Director of Hope Together. And that's about helping keep younger people on the map in all sorts of unity and mission conversations nationally, working with denominations and organizations, but then particularly also creating space through partnerships, things like Amplify Young Evangelist Academy, where we train and equip over 100 young people each year to be evangelists in their school streets and social media. And also then young people getting equipped and connected through things like Mission Academy Live and other resources that are out there, like the Wellbeing Journey. But in my spare time, whatever, I helped lead a church with some friends. And I was the youth pastor of that church for many, many years. And young people and young adults are right at the heart of what we do. My wife is the young adults and students pastor in our church as well. And so, yeah, it's what we're all about in our community, but also in the nation.
Amazing. You've been involved in youth work like I have for a long time. Can you share a little bit about how God has led or moved and changed you along the way?
Yeah, totally. I think I hinted at that before. I guess my understanding paradigm of, is it youth, is it ministry to young people, or is it ministry with young people? That's probably the biggest shift for me. That actually, how do we come alongside? How do we empower? And really simply, I guess I'm totally believe 110% in the phrase, our success is in our successors. And so that's more about youth ministry with young people and for young people rather than to young people. Yeah. And I think youth ministry to young people, like if we're presenting stuff all the time and those things, it's really important that we communicate, that we go ahead, that we set the example. But in reality, it ends up becoming very reliant on us as the youth leader. And so I think that shifted for me a number of years ago, because you accidentally become the youth worker superhero, and then you know, there's a high risk of getting burnt out in those things, because you end up becoming the answer to everyone's problems and everything. And one more crisis could send you over the edge, and young people face all sorts of challenging crises. And so actually, when it's ministry with young people and for young people, then it's very different, because actually I believe we can pour more energy and time into investing, mentoring, pastoring, mm-hmm. discipling them as they journey, as they seek to reach their friends, as they seek to disciple their peers, as they seek to have an impact for the kingdom of God, and also grow in their faith. And I think the other thing is, and I think it's something that's quite big, I guess, in our culture maybe, is the fact that, or particularly in Western Christian culture, is that we tend sometimes to set up youth groups in a way that is almost exists to protect the young people's faith. If we can just keep them following Jesus, then we'll be, you know, we've done our job. But what if it was about helping them to prove their faith? You know, we see this illustration, we see this story in David and Saul. Saul tried to put his armor on David just before the Goliath moment. And David said, but no, I've not proven it. Let me do with the tools of what God has given me, what I have learned and trained in, what I have slain lion and bear and all of that. And then obviously goes and knocks down this big giant with a pebble. And the reality is this, is that it's what David had proven, you know. And I think if we really want to see legacy and impact for the kingdom of God beyond just the years that young people are in youth ministry with us, then we have to invest in such a way that helps them prove their faith, because when they get to uni or into the workplace, that actually we're launching them into those spaces. We're not losing them into those spaces.
Yeah. When young people participate in a youth group rather than just come to it, they're much more likely to stick around longer, because they feel like they're part of it, not just it's something they go to. So it's just that slight switch, isn't it? Like between young people having something to go to and something where they feel, you know, valued and a part of it, and like an important part of it where they're going to be missed if they're not there.
Yeah, definitely.
Really helps, doesn't it? What's the biggest lesson you think you've learned from youth or kids work along the way?
The answer is, for me, it's always team. Team is always the answer. I think no one can reach every young person in our community. No one person can, even if you're the biggest social media influencer. But it's like, it has to be team. Team as the youth team, the youth volunteer team, the team called church that we get to be part of, the team called multiple ecumenical church connection around the area. You know, however broad you want to spread that dynamic of team, the answer is team. You know, and I think when working together with the church, it's understanding the strengths that each church brings, understands the strengths that each person can bring to the table. And I think with team, you know, it's almost been an area for me of the biggest struggle, not because I didn't want team, but also it's the area I totally want a team, but it's the area that the biggest challenges come in, because, hey, we're all people and we're all complex and we've all got problems. And so when a team is divided or they're not united around a vision, or there's fractures in a team, that is one of the most detrimental things to any youth ministry. Not the latest drug, not the latest thing on Netflix that you think is dodgy, not the latest social media app that's not got the safeguards in place yet. Actually, the biggest threat to us raising up fearless young people for Jesus is the unity within the team, because it's where the fruitfulness flows from. And, you know, we're positioned for God to use us. So I think that's where I put all my energy. I was never employed by my church as a youth worker. I was able to give a day a week max. And so I just invested in the team. Yeah, I did a bit of actual face-to-face youth work myself, but I put most of my energy into training, equipping the team, and trying to lead by example in that space.
Yeah, I think that helps overcome a lot of those team challenges, doesn't it? When you try and invest that energy into, building the team and making sure that everybody knows what their role is within that.
Yeah.
And that everybody's using their skills and their gifts in the best way, so they thrive as well as the young people within those groups. Yeah. Have you got a fun question for me?
A fun question for you. I wasn't super prepared on this one. But I was like, oh, could I flip some of your questions around?
Yeah.
That's partly what I was thinking. I think a question for you is, what is the thing that has ever, that's been said in this podcast, you guys have been in this podcast for a while, what is the moment that stands out to you? It could be weird, bad, good. What is the one thing that someone has said that just made you, caught you off guard? Just like,
Okay, I've got a good story. This isn't something that happened during a podcast, but so I was in a Costa fairly recently, and a girl bumped into me there and said, "Oh, you're Becky, aren't you? You're from Youth Work Plus." And I was like, "Yeah, I am. Yeah, yeah." And she was like, "Oh, I listen to your podcast. I'm not involved in youth work at the minute, but I listen to all the episodes and just wanted to say that, like, it really encouraged me." And that was like a mind-blown moment for me, because I was thinking, all this time we've been recording this thing for youth leaders, kids and youth work. And this lovely girl who spoke to me in Costa said she listened and she wasn't doing youth work at the minute. And that was like a mind-blown moment for me, where I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Like, actually, I hadn't thought that people might listen to this and actually not be helping with youth or kids work at the minute. And that it could still be useful and valuable for them.
Well, there you go.
So yeah,
I want to know what the weirdest thing that someone said on the podcast is.
The weirdest thing someone said on the podcast. I don't think there's been a lot of weird moments, not yet. Okay. Maybe the weirdest is yet to come.
Maybe we can say something weird. How that I recently bought some jeans. From some really nice jeans from a charity shop, and they're absolute bargain. So, like, nice All Saints jeans, and they're like £7, and they're in great condition. Yeah. I was like, I love a charity shop bargain, great quality brand, like, it's gonna last. And in the pocket, in both the front pockets, was fingernails. Which I was like, this is weird. I'm gonna wash these anyway. But I was like, who bites their fingernails and then puts them in their jean pocket? And that morning I discovered it, and I was hanging out with my best mate that night, and I told him the story of these jeans. And he said, I do that. And I was like, why? Why not just throw them on the ground? It's not littering. It's like, surely decomposes or whatever. Maybe some people think it is littering. So sorry to offend you, the fingernail police that are out there. But Then this is the weirdest thing. He said to me, oh, yeah. And sometimes I get them out of my pocket and use them to pick my teeth out.
Oh, no, yeah.
Which I was just completely freaked out, grossed out. And this guy, you think, actually, I've got a really gross-looking friend. This guy is, like, super clean, hygiene. You know, he's always about how he looks, how he dresses. And I just thought, this is the complete opposite of you. That is disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it made me a little vomit a little bit, man. There you go.
Well, yeah, that is a gross and a weird story. I thought you were going to say they were your friend's jeans that he donated to the charity shop.
It would have been worse, because then the fingernails have been used to pick out his teeth because he reuses them. Anyway.
Yeah. You've touched on this a little bit, but what area of youth or kids ministry are you most passionate about, and why?
I think for me, I'm most passionate about how we're raising up young leaders or young missionaries, or however you want to phrase it. It's always going to be my passion. Yeah. It's always going to be in my heart. You know, I love creative stuff. I love when we do evangelism stuff. I love going deep in discipleship. But for me, it's about how we're raising up leaders, how we're multiplying ourselves. I used to say to our youth team, integration, so like from schools or community into the life of the youth ministry, integration is addition, but discipleship leads to multiplication. Mm-hmm. And I think when we disciple well, the fruit of good discipleship isn't how many people attended the Alpha course, or nothing wrong with Alpha, love Alpha, or any course, or number of people that come to small groups, or any of that stuff. It's about how are they multiplying themselves? How are they going and making disciples?
Mm.
And so that's in my heart, because actually then that is beyond us. It's out of our control in a great way. So for all the control freaks, they don't like that. and then, you know, but it's legacy beyond us that maybe we'll not even ever hear about. And I know some people struggle with that, like not knowing their effectiveness or what they're doing. And God really challenged me on that a few years ago, because I struggled with that. I was like, I want to know that I'm being effective. And just God's like, you know, it's okay. That actually you just got to be faithful in sowing, got to be faithful in investing, and let me do the rest. And if you never hear about it, okay. But you gave what you could in that moment to that young person or those people, or journeyed with them, or you were present with them. This stuff lasts with people. You know that. You know, you're doing in your context and have done for many years where you live. But yeah, that is my biggest passion. And I also believe, and I guess it links back to that proving not protecting thing. A friend of mine, amazing local church in Northern Ireland, Dave Pavey, said to me that he's now a kids worker. The reason he became a kids worker, he used to be a youth pastor about 20 years ago, and he's still head of kids at that church, kids ministry, was because he was fed up with the kind of kids that he was receiving into youth ministry.
Mm.
Had been entertained in kids ministry and not discipled. And so that's not me as a youth leader having got kids workers, but I think what the beauty of it was also it's challenged me as well and gone, well, how much are we just perpetuating that? And it's not about, oh, youth work's where it really happens. But literally then he felt called, like you complain to be a call kind of thing, into do kids ministry. To go. And then he started taking kids out on the street to pray for people, reach people, to start, like do evangelism with people, do mission. And then their mentors were young people from the youth ministry. And there was an adult nearby as like a safety net. So what a beautiful picture of like kids and youth synergy working together. And yeah, I love that. I love that kind of stuff. But it doesn't just have to start when they're 11. That's what I encourage people.
Yeah.
Do synergy with your kids workers, you know.
Yeah, totally. So there's two questions left. How can people get involved with what you do?
Great, yeah. So as Hope Together, we love to serve any church, any size, any youth group, any young adults ministry, in your village, town, cities, wherever you are. We want to come alongside with creative missional resources from things like the Wellbeing Journey. You know, a top question people are asking in the UK right now, according to the Touring Jesus Research, is will everything be okay? You know, people's mental health and well-being is at an all-time low. How do we help them? But how do we also introduce them to the author of our well-being? So the one who's got a plan for our well-being, God. But then, so there's a lot of great resources like that. Check out our live that's coming out this Easter, looking at the five post-resurrection encounters, a great way for engaging non-Christians in a conversation around that. 45% of the UK believe in the resurrection. So let's connect with that.
Yeah.
But the main way is if you know young people that are passionate about sharing Jesus, we'd love to train and equip them for Amplify. Amplify exists to serve the local church, to train, enable, encourage, and empower and equip those young people to come back, inspire the rest of their youth group to share Jesus with us, but also then live this out at an even higher level of what it looks like to share Jesus in their environments creatively. And there's a bunch of stuff there. Check out amplifyacademy.co.uk for more information.
Thanks, Dan. And what advice or encouragement would you give for the youth and kids leaders listening, or anybody like that girl I met in Costa who isn't a youth or kids leader but just needs some encouragement listening?
Yeah, yeah. The thing I would say is, well, keep going. What you're doing is the most valuable thing in ministry, I believe, because 80%, 75% of people come to faith before the age of 18. So we're investing in, we're serving in the space that where people come into faith the most. So that's good. Where you are has purpose, and I believe you're there on a purpose and for a purpose. Mm-hmm. I guess the advice I would say is this, and it's challenged me again and again over the years, and particularly during the pandemic and beyond that, is we need to stay committed to presence ministry and presence ministry. So what I mean by that is rocking up, keep turning up, keep being present in young people's lives. Sometimes we don't know what to give. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to create what we think is the most innovative program, whatever it is. Keep showing up. And then the other element of presence ministry is we need more of the Holy Spirit in us. We need to be transformed more. But then also we need to see God at work in these young people's lives. Only He can change and transform them to be the people that He's created them to be. So let's keep showing up, and let's keep showing up with Him and full of Him. Presence and presence ministry.
Mm, yeah, yeah. One of the biggest things I've learned is like, it's all we have to do is be obedient and show up and do what God's called us to do. And God will do the rest, like hinting at what you were saying before about like sowing the seeds thing, and God's the one who does stuff with it. I think that's one of the most powerful things I've learned that ties in with that.
Yeah. So good.
It's been amazing to to chat to you today, Dan. It's gone so fast and I kind of wish we were talking for longer.
It's been great. Really good to be with you. So good to hang out. Always good to chat with you, Becky.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you've liked what you've heard today, if you can do like, share and subscribe, because it helps other people come across our stuff and find it. Also helps you find it again and find the next episodes and things. And yeah, if you want to leave us a comment, then you can do. And really, thanks for listening and tuning in today. Hope you found it as good to listen to as we have to be involved in recording it.
Thanks for having me.
Cool. Thanks, Dan. Thank you.
Great.